Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 396, all the stanzas. The Lord is strong to help the weak, upholding those that fall, restoring those bowed down with grief, and doing good to all. 1-6 of 396.
Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the second book of Moses called Exodus, thereof the 15th chapter, beginning with the 20th verse. Exodus 15, verse 20. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness, and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters.
We hope to remember in prayer this evening the infant child of Albert and Amy Rulofson, who was brought back to the hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-providing, all-merciful, gracious, and long-suffering God, who does yet spare each and every one of us and bringeth us in this evening together once again in thy house, in thy goodness, in thy mercy, in an outward way, showing unto us that thou hast no pleasure in our death, but that we would turn unto thee and live. And thou knowest the child, O Lord, that is in the hospital once again. Wilt thou make it well as thou alone art able, for very quickly we can feel our helplessness before the powers of sickness, of affliction, of death. That thou who art higher than the heavens and who art stronger than the grave and who has shown thy victory over it, that thou may heal also this little child and bring her home again to the place where she may dwell. Wilt thou care for the parents and remember them in thy mercy. Remember also those that mourn in these days, for thou knowest the affliction. Supply, O Lord, as thou art able, also in the time to come in a special way for that widow, and for all widows, and for all those that have special needs. And when we think especially of the reason that we have come together in this day, in our denomination, to set aside a day wherein we may acknowledge that thou art he that does give us food and drink, clothing and shelter, and that without thee we can do nothing. To acknowledge thy might and thy power, for thou hast laid the foundations of the earth, and thou dost make to the sun to arise and to set in his place. and the springs to send forth the waters into the valleys, that the beasts of the earth may quench their thirst. Lord, and it all depends and waits upon Thee day by day. And we are creatures that take so much for granted, even despite our own iniquity and sin, so that we go on with expectation, even when we have our backs turned to Thee. Oh, do show unto us what our guilt is, for we must acknowledge our helplessness in all these things and Thy great power, but may we also be given to acknowledge our undeservedness, and because of all our iniquities, that we may acknowledge Thee also in Thy mercies, in Thy graces, that Thou helpest those who do not deserve to be helped. And then we can only come in the name of Thy dear and only begotten Son, that we might plead with Thee, and that Thou wouldest do for us what we do not deserve. And Thou hast promised it long ago in a general way unto this world, that seed time and harvest and summer and winter and day and night would not cease anymore till the end of this world, and that Thou wouldest provide for all Thy creatures, for man and for beast together. And so Thou hast shown Thy faithfulness to Thy word to this very moment. Oh, that we may be humbled thereby under all Thy great goodness. Wilt Thou teach us to bow, teach us to come in the dust of self-abasement before Thee, and that Thy goodness may lead us to a true repentance, that we might feel something of Thy love and of Thy mercies, that they would make us ashamed before Thee, that we could not go on any more in that same way that we have walked before, but that we would have to turn ourselves and to bow before the King of heaven and of earth, but also of Thy church. For Thou art the provider for Thy people in a special way, food and drink, for the need of their souls. Oh, we beseech Thee for this also, not only for the rain and the sunshine, for the fields of this world, but may it be, O Lord, upon the field of Thy church, and that Thou would shine upon it, and that Thou may give the gentle showers, and that Thou wouldst cause the dew to appear in the mornings, and that there may be food in Thine house, that the meek might eat and be satisfied, and that Thou wouldest cause Thy church to grow as the vine, and that Thou Thyself may tend to it as that great husbandman, and that Thou may bring forth fruits to Thyself as Thou alone canst enjoy, that it may be for Thee that we exist in this world and will exist in a world to come, for the glory not only of Thy justice, but also of Thy mercy and of Thy grace, that we and our children may be living monuments thereof and testimonies of Thy great goodness and of Thy tender love. Wilt Thou remember this nation and the nations amongst whom we dwell? And then Thou dost still permit us to exist as nations, even when our sins rise up against us, and that in any very outward and very daring way, Oh, judge us not according to our many sins, but turn us therefrom unto thyself, that we might learn to walk according to thy statutes and thy laws, that we may put away the evil of our lands, that we might learn to bow before the true and the living God, and to put away all idolatry, and that thy name and thy day may be revered, that authorities, fathers and mothers may be obeyed, that the children and the wombs, that they may be protected, that we may be given to live faithfully as husbands and wives, O Lord, that thy commandments, and that our very hearts may be changed, that covetousness may be taken away in the midst of this world, and that we might learn to yearn, to hunger, and to thirst after that bread of life, which a man will eat, he shall never hunger, and that water of life, that fountain with which they may be drinking unto life eternal. O Lord, to whom else shall we go for such blessings we can ask? But it is all belonging to thee and thy mercy and thy grace to give them unto us, because they are so undeserved, and they are not what we can receive from one another, but they can only be received from thee. But thou dost say to ask of thee, and thou wilt give them unto us. Oh, we beseech it of thee then, Lord, on this day, set aside for prayer, to acknowledge thy might and thy goodness and thy mercy and our sinfulness, and that we may receive an undeserved blessing, even though we must say, as thy servant of old, and that I am not worthy of the least of all thy goodness that thou hast shown unto thy servant. Wilt thou care for all that are in distress, as thou art the great carer for the poor in this world, that thou may remember the needy when they cry, and save their souls when death draws nigh. And we remember also all the homeless in this world, for there are so many upon the streets of the cities, in the midst of this world, that have no place to go, and that must scramble for their food day by day. And then Satan is so busy to destroy, with all kinds of substance abuse in this world. O Lord, that thou would put away his devices and bring the message of thy dear Son to those that have it not, and that men may turn from the wickedness of our ways, and that we may come again unto thy holy temple. And remember the work of thy servants over the length and breadth of this whole world. Could it please thee to increase their number here below? For thou knowest the state of thy church and also of our own denomination, and the great need, that thou may raise up men who are truly converted and called by thee in thy own time, and by thy own power, that thou may bring them forth in all the impossibility, and that thou would thrust them into that vineyard, that thy name may go forth unto the ignorant and unto sinners, and that thou wouldst bring in thy fold into the sheepfold, and that thou mayst speak unto the world, to say, I am the door. If any man by me will enter in, he shall go in and shall go out and find pasture. That thou may remember those upon our mission field. Remember thy servant and all that labor with him and the family. Wilt thou care for all those that suffer persecution? Remember thou all the needs locally also in the midst of the church, and laid before Thee already in this morning hour, and that Thou may bless us undeservedly with blessings out of Thy heavenly store. Be with fathers and mothers, for Thou knowest all their needs as we try to lead our children a little while through this world, to bring them up under the in the tender fear of Thy name. But we have not hearts, and our children have our own hearts. To serve Thee, we need to be born again. O Lord, give what is necessary to warn and to give an example and to lead and to love, and that Thou may work with might and power in the coming, the rising generation. Help our teachers. Do help us in this evening. Be in the midst of us as one that serveth, forgiving and taking away all that is amiss and sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 296, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. Springs and streams no longer bless all the dry and thirsty land. Fertile fields in verdant dress God converts to desert sand. For, and that they who dwell therein turn to wickedness and sin. 1, 2, and 3, and 5 of Psalter 296. congregation, the words of our text for this evening hour can be found in the aforeread chapter, Exodus chapter 15, and thereof the 26th verse, Exodus 15, verse 26, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." So far the words of our text. A promise with a condition. First, the promise. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. The promise. Second, the condition, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes," and the condition. And third, the promiser, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." The promiser, a promise with a condition. First, the promise. Second, the condition. And last, the promiser. So we begin with the promise. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. The Lord did not need to say anything more than this. That did not need any further explanation unto the people that he was speaking unto the children of Israel. They were very well aware of the diseases which I brought upon the Egyptians. They have seen all of them in their great dreadfulness. 10 plagues they have watched as the land was devastated, as the inhabitants of the lands were afflicted, both in their bodies, in their minds, the great fear. Their children slain, their king, their soldiers cast into that Red Sea. These diseases, these plagues that I brought upon the Egyptians. Israel has just ascended out of the deep. They have just finished rejoicing over their enemies. They have just finished singing. And we can read with Miriam, they have sung in dances, and with timbrels they have gone forth. What a privileged people that Israel were, who were brought forth and who were cared for by the Lord, a cloud from heaven that is fighting for them, coming between them and their enemies and standing in the way so that enemy cannot touch them. A cloud, a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, and that is going to go before them to lead the way, the protection of the Lord in their whole life. It is now 3 days later after this wonderful deliverance and seeing all their enemies dead upon the seashore and rejoicing in the salvation of the Lord. It is a short 3 days later. And what do we read? We read, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur and went 3 days in the wilderness." So between Egypt and Canaan, it was a wilderness. Canaan is the promised land. Canaan is a picture of where God's people are traveling unto. Do you know where they go, boys and girls? You know that they go to heaven. And that earthly Canaan was a picture of heaven. That was a wonderful land. It was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And then we have Egypt. That is the place out of which the children of Israel are being brought. And that is also a picture. It is a picture of this world. It is a picture of the service of sin. Many delights. The children of Israel later on, they are even looking back to all the delights, the cucumbers and the things that they have enjoyed in the midst of this world. And now between these two is the wilderness for the church of God. It is not heaven, not heaven here below on the earth. Nor is that wilderness all the pleasures that can be enjoyed in the world for the people. No, they are brought upon a journey, and the Lord brings them out of that service of sin, and the Lord is going to bring them unto that most pleasant land. And in between is that wilderness. That is not a place where we by nature want to venture, because it is a place that is so against our flesh. But now that true church, they are drawn to venture out into that wilderness. And why are they ready to go? Do you say, well, they want to go live in that wilderness? No. No, but there is a land that is beyond that wilderness. It is that land of Canaan. It is that land that is flowing with milk and honey. And the Lord, He is drawing them unto that place. And whether that has to go through a wilderness or no, oh, then the Lord, He is showing unto them the shortness of this life, the frailty of this life. He shows to them what is the true happiness. Oh, do we realize that also as we enter into a new season in the midst of this world? When the world will become alive with the life that the Lord will give unto it, and when it will be delightful to the sons of men, when we may go out of that dark winter, and we may come into the spring, and when the children may go forth and to play once more, or do we realize that this is not a place where we can remain? Is this then a place that we think to receive all the enjoyments of our life? Or is this world unto us a wilderness? Because a wilderness is not pleasant. No, a wilderness is hot. A wilderness is dry. In that wilderness there are trials, there are tribulations. What did Jacob say at the end of his wilderness journey? He said, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Thus, the wilderness, are we also in a wilderness? Is this world a wilderness unto us? Have we left the land of Egypt? And now it is in the wilderness that the Lord is going to instruct, is going to teach His people. And how is the Lord going to do that? Well, He is going to instruct them in the knowledge of themselves. He is going to instruct them in the knowledge of Himself. He is going to lead them in the way of true saving faith. Just think later, they will be fed with manna, and then they must gather that manna each and every day, not for the next day, but in dependence to live out of the hand of the Lord. So the Lord is instructing and teaching His people in the wilderness. And how does the Lord give that instruction? Well, we read here a promise. And I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Upon thee, upon us. Upon us. That he has brought upon the Egyptians. Why does the Lord say that? That he would bring... Why does the Lord even think that? What does that mean? The Lord, he has made a distinction between us and the Egyptians. When the Lord has... The Egyptians are our enemies. The Egyptians do not love the Lord. The Egyptians do not serve the Lord. The Egyptians, that is the world, is it not, young people? They are those that are out there. You say, they are those who live wickedly. And the Lord, he will punish the wicked in this world. And we can read in Egypt how that the Lord, he has made a distinction. And then eventually, then those diseases, those plagues, they are not on the whole land, but that land of Goshen that is set apart. That is the people of the Lord. And the wicked people, they are receiving those plagues of the Lord. And now? Now the Lord makes a comparison. He introduces an idea. The Lord introduces a thought, as it were, that a possibility, that the Lord would bring those same plagues that he has brought upon the Egyptians, that the Lord would bring them upon his own people, just like he did it to their enemies. How is that? You say, we can understand that if the Lord will judge the world, but is the Lord then going to judge us too? We read here that in these first 3 days, the first 3 days after the Lord brought them through that sea, that the Lord, it says, he proved his people. He proved them. He gave them a test. A test. You take a test too, right? Children in school, you take a test. Examination. We will see how well that you have learned something. And the Lord, he gives his children an examination. Let me see, my people, how much that you have learned. And then his people, we would say, they did not pass that test. Immediately after he has brought them through that sea, then the Lord is discovering unto the children of Israel what is living in their own heart. Immediately after he brings them through that sea, the Lord is showing unto Israel that they did not merit that deliverance that he has given unto them. The boast of God's people is going to be of the Lord alone. The Lord is going to see to it that his children are not going to boast in themselves. Thus, those first 3 days, the Lord showed to Israel that they were no different than those people from whom that they were delivered, and that they deserved, actually, those same punishments. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and went 3 days in the wilderness, and found no water. It is very easy for the Lord to humble a person. It is very easy for the Lord to humble a nation. He does not need hurricanes for that. He does not need fires for that. No, all he has to do is to quietly withhold a little bit of water. A little bit of water. How many people today in our land never pray? Never pray. Can the Lord change that? Oh, the Lord can change that so easy. So easy. He can change that so quietly. All he has to do is withhold a little water, food, drink, and then we will see what happens to the creatures of the Lord. And found no water. That is not a very comfortable thing to thirst. That is, with all of the trials, all of the misery that has to be experienced by man in this world, they are not comfortable things. But that is the reality for the world. It is the reality for fallen mankind. Is the church then exempt from that reality? You say, far from it. Just the opposite. Because the Lord, in a special way, is leading his people through the wilderness and making this wilderness, this world, a wilderness unto his people. And found no water. That is not just uncomfortable, but when that continues, that is also a very, very serious matter. Why? Because they cannot live very long without water. Thus, it is becoming a very serious matter for the children of Israel. Only 3 days after the Lord has brought them out of the land of Egypt and through that Red Sea. A matter of life and death. We are all very close to death. Do we feel that we have mourning families in our midst? Oh, how quickly death can climb into our windows. But we do not all feel that, only in these moments. But now the Lord is pleased often to give that his people are living close to death. Paul speaks about the deliverance of those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Thus, when the Lord is giving that new birth, that people are brought immediately close to their death with the thoughts of their death. Do you have such thoughts, children, young people, even when you are young? Because naturally, when we are young, then we are not thinking about death. But when the Lord gives a new heart, then he shows to us that this life is very short. Very short. And it is so very uncertain. So how very, very close to death the Lord is giving his people to live in this world. That is not what our flesh likes, because we like to say, eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. We put it far from us, the evil day, but it is very profitable for God's people, that he may wean them from this world. And when they came to Merah, they could not drink of the waters of Meribah, for they were bitter. What is that? That is, expectations which have been disappointed. That is always an awful thing, is it not? We always feel, especially for our children, do we not, fathers and mothers, when we see them and we know that their hopes, they are so high on this or that, and then we see that their hopes, they come dashing down. And that we want to protect our children because that is a very discouraging thing. And now these people, they have seen water. They have seen that a bit from the distance, as it were. And in seeing that water, then there was hope. That was in their misery because those young people and those children, they are crying to father and to mother, I am so thirsty. Oh, yes, be quiet, child. We don't have just, we need to, oh, but there is water. So just a little longer, and then we can drink. And so the expectations of the people coming up unto Meribah, they are built. They are looking forward to relieving their distress. Soon they may drink, and then, oh, then the reality, and they could not drink of that water. Oh, false hopes, that is what they are. False hopes, so very destructive. Raising the expectations of persons and then dashing them upon the rocks. That does not make a man steadfast. No, it makes his expectations rise and die. Thus it does not make a steadfast man as those who hope on what is right and who hope on a solid foundation. And now what do we read? We read the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Can we understand that? What shall we drink? Because if we have nothing to drink, we are going to die. Well, why did they not then have a prayer day? Why did they not then bow their knees and ask the Lord if the Lord would give them something to drink? How often we do not murmur. Do you murmur, children, young people? Do you murmur when that table is laden with food and drink and you say, "Ah, but that is not what I prefer. Not what I prefer. I would like to have something else." Do we then murmur? Do we then complain? When there is a little bit less, maybe. You say, "I would like to have more," but there is not more at the moment. Then do we murmur? Then do we complain? When we have to suffer just a little bit, because we don't have to suffer very much, do we? But when we have to suffer just a little bit, then what is arising in our heart and what is coming out of our mouth? The Lord has just delivered this people with a mighty hand from death, from destruction, from slavery, out of the land of Egypt. Would he then not provide them a little water? Was that not his people? If they would only fold their hands and ask the Lord, who had just given them such a mighty deliverance, would he then not now also give them a little water? Or is he now, after all he has done, going to leave the people all to themselves, murmuring, complaining? You know who that is done by? That is done by people who have rights. I have a right to something. What do we have a right to? Oh, there are rights in this world, yes. They need to be maintained, yes. But before the Lord now, what rights do we have? Did we ever feel that? That we have sinned away all our rights? A right to any food? A right to any drink? A right to a little bit of water? A right to a little crust of bread? Because if we have no rights, well, then we have no complaining. But if we think we have rights to something, then we begin to complain, that we say that we do not have what is ours. You know what Mephibosheth says? He says, "What right have I anymore to speak unto the king? Because the king has been so good to me. When I was in my father's house, when I was condemned, oh, the king has given me to eat at his own table. And now it is taken away from me, wrongfully taken away from me, but what right have I?" Oh, what a good place. What a good place to be. Then there is no murmuring. But it was not only murmuring. We read they murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" What had Moses to do with this? Was it now Moses' fault that they murmur against Moses? Was Moses able to give them water any more than that he could give themselves water in the midst of that wilderness? Oh, at Meribah. At Meribah, the Lord is leading his people a little bit into the wickedness that is living in their own hearts. Even after the great deliverance. The Lord ever show that to you? The wickedness that lives in our heart. The rebellion that lives in our heart. Oh, we can study, but we cannot learn this by study. We cannot learn that from a book. We cannot learn that from what is written about doctrine. Do you know where that is learned? What lives inside? It is learned in the wilderness. A cesspool of iniquity, that there is no difference between the world and what lives in my own heart, that I do not need so much to happen in order to bring that out. Just a little suffering, just a little proving, just a little withholding of water. And then that cesspool that is beginning to boil. And then God's people, then they experience a little of the wretchedness that still remains in their own hearts. We say first the promise. What is it? "I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians." What does the Lord say? There is no difference. There is no difference, my people. That is now demonstrated in 3 days. There is no difference between you and those Egyptians. That same rebellion against me that is living so deep in the heart of a fallen man, that is living even yet within my own people. Do you see it? Do you feel it a little bit, my people? At Meribah, that is where it becomes evident that you now deserve the shame. That I do what? That I put all those diseases, all the diseases that I will afflict the world with, And you deserve that I would put them also upon you. But I will not. I will not. And why not? Not my people, because of you. Be sure about that. Be certain about that. Yes, that is what the church learns. Slowly, surely, through that wilderness. Do we learn it too? Let us sing Psalter 290, 1, 6, and 7. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks and bless his name. His loving kindness changes not. From age to age the same. 1, 6, and 7 of 290. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. So there was a prayer day after all. That was not by Israel, but it was by Moses alone. Moses was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in his intercessory work. If the children of God's people did not have a heavenly intercessor, there would be no hope for that people. But the Lord heard Moses. We read, and he showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. That was the deliverance of 600,000 men, beside women and children and all their herds of cattle, and that were brought out of the land of Egypt. Calvin says that was no small rivulet. No, that was a tremendous amount of water that was necessary to sustain the life of his own church. And that is nothing with the Lord. Nothing. He is the creator of the heavens and of the earth. He is the provider for the whole world, and especially for his church. And the Lord promises to do this for them. And then it does not speak here only about God's true people. No, it speaks here about the entire visible church. But there is attached to it, as we see in our second thought, a condition to that promise. So there are unconditional promises in God's word. So promises of the Lord with no conditions attached to them. They are for God's people. They are for God's true people. Oh, let us be careful, because men today are so bold to take hold on the things that are the Lord's and that are specifically for his people. Then we need to know what is given unto us and what is not given unto us. But here is now something that the Lord is speaking unto all the children of Israel, as they are the people of the Lord in an outward way. And that is not even just the world altogether, but his own people that are walking there in that wilderness. And what does the Lord say? There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians, which you deserve, because you are just like the Egyptians. I just showed it to you in these 3 days. What lives in your heart? All that same rebellion as that wicked world. Oh, let that punishment that was upon those Egyptians be a warning to you, that you may stand in awe that I have made a difference between you and those Egyptians. And now, my people, I look for a people who desire to walk in a way of repentance. I did not deliver you from the land of Egypt, from the service of Pharaoh, from the bondage of Pharaoh. I did not deliver you from that in order that you may walk in your own ways, that you may be a god unto yourself. No, but I have delivered you from that bondage in order that you may walk in my ways. If thou wilt diligently hearken, thus the Lord requires of his people a diligence. A diligent hearkening, a very close attention to his law. How is that for us? How close of an attention do we give unto the law of the Lord? Or do we walk very loosely in this world with God's law? What do you think? Do you think that we can deal half-heartedly with the statutes and the commandments of the Lord and then fold our hands and pray and ask the Lord if he will give to us food and drink and blessings? What do you think about that, children? Fathers and mothers, you command your children. Your children don't want to do what you say. And what do? Well, you punish them. Maybe you withhold something. Withhold? They will ask you, may I have? Oh, yes, you may have. You may have. But now you have to listen to me. Is that not simple? Or is the Lord difficult? Is the Lord so hard? Is the Lord harsh unto his people? Diligently hearken. What does that mean? Two things. That is to hear and to obey. We read here to give ear. And wilt give ear to his commandments and to his voice. You give ear to that. You hear it. So the first thing that is that we must know, because hearing, by hearing, we get knowledge and we learn what the commandments of the Lord are, because the Lord says, ignorance is no excuse. There's no excuse for anyone in the world. Why not? Because we were created with knowledge. But it is even less excuse for us who are given that word of God and all the commandments and all the statutes of the Lord written out, and so many explanations by God's servants of old of those statutes and how that we must walk in the commandments of the Lord. But now that diligent hearkening, that is not only to know, no, but it is also to do. He says, and will do that which is right in his sight, and keep all his statutes. So what is it to know and not to do? When we know, children, and we do not do, then what? Then we increase our judgment. Feel it already, do we not? As we walk through this world, knowing and not doing, because in our conscience, then we already have begun to suffer. In the midst of this world, when we know and do not do, if thou wilt diligently hearken, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. What does the Lord say? He says, you will bring all the troubles that you will have in your life. They are of your own bringing. That is not what I do from myself, with desire from myself, but that is what you bring upon yourself. They are caused by your disobedience against my law, my statute. You do not bring down the blessings of heaven by a sacrifice of prayer and supplication. No, the Lord says to obey. To obey, that is better than sacrifice. And if you do not want to walk, he says, in my laws, and in my ways, then you can expect those same judgments that I am going to bring on all of this world and worse, because you belong just to my privileged people does not mean that I am going to overlook and to pass by your sin. But if thou wilt diligently hearken, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Ah, there we have it. There is the cause that is in the promiser himself. And we have here a reference. I am the Lord that healeth thee. What was now just healed, children? What was healed that we just heard about? You say the water. The water was healed. From being bitter, that water has been made sweet by the casting in of that tree. It was healed, and it was now useful. It was now drinkable. It was now to save the life of that dying people. That was so necessary. Who did that? Moses? No, you say. Moses could not do it. It was not just that tree. You say, well, some say, those trees, certain trees, they have certain characteristics that they can take away that brackishness of that water. That is true. That is true. We don't know if some of that was by the use of means, but certainly, there was a great miracle in it, right? 600,000 men with all those women and children and cattle. Well, that was not done just by the means of a little tree. Thus, who did that? Well, you say, the Lord did that. He was the cause. He healed those waters. And at the same time, what had the Lord done? The Lord had revealed to the people themselves the bitterness that lived in their hearts. The bitterness, the rebellion, the wickedness, the sinfulness that lived within their hearts, that they could feel it, that they could see it, that they might recognize it. And now the Lord says to that people, but if thou wilt diligently hearken, even though that rebellion and that wickedness that lives in your heart, yet I will not deal with you as I will deal with the world. Why not? Because I am Jehovah. Because I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, what a blessed promiser. The people could not take away that what lived in their heart. Can you take that away? Do you say, oh, could I banish it out of my heart? And there could be nothing in my heart left but the love of the Lord. Can you take that out of your heart? Oh, the Lord knows what we cannot. And now the Lord says it here. He required it of this people. He commends it to this people. But at the same time, he says, I will heal you. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And in the Bible, you read the word heal, that is not only about the body, but that is also about the soul. So you read about the paralytic, and that man, the Lord Jesus said, whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. Oh, that healing that had to do not only with the body, that had also to do with the soul. David, he says, Lord, be merciful to me and heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Is that what you need on this prayer day? To have a soul that is healed, to have a soul that is forgiven, with so much murmuring in our heart against the Lord, against the ways of the Lord, that we cannot rip out of our heart, and then we ask for food and drink. What does the Lord say? He says, if thou wilt diligently hearken, oh, the Lord is looking. Oh, the Lord, he says, I know my people. You cannot take that. But if you will now diligently hearken unto me, oh, how good he is he not? If you want to run away this season with the blessings, if you want to ask them from the Lord, wilt thou give us food and drink, water, water, what shall we drink? And you do not want to walk in the statutes of the Lord, or then we should not be surprised if the Lord deals with us the same as he deals with the world. But the Lord is so good to those who have evil hearts and yet wish to diligently hearken unto him. Then the Lord is so gracious, and he promises not to deal as we deserve. Oh, the Lord, draw our heart with his goodness in all his providences in this season that is to come, when he makes the bitter sweet in the midst of this world. Oh, the Lord, give to us knowledge of our own heart, that we may grieve over the bitterness that lives in our own heart, and that the Lord may also show us that tree whereby the bitter may be made sweet, and that the Lord may come and declare unto us also in a personal way, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, show unto us ourselves, for we are complainers and murmurers, but we have no rights. We have lost them before thee, in our covenant head, and ourselves also left thee days without number. O, give us a desire. Lord, break our hearts. And with thy great goodness, when thou dost invite us again, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto me. Oh, give hearts that say, Lord, I desire so to diligently hearken. Give me the strength for it. Give me the desire. Give me the ability. Give me the love. Give me the faithfulness. Give me the constancy each and every day. And wilt thou heal my soul from all my sin and the sinful disposition that lives within me. Oh, forgive then all our iniquities and bless us undeservedly in the time to come. Wilt thou be with us in the rest of this week? Remember those who must stand before that open grave in this week to lay their a beloved husband and father and grandfather. And be on their right and on their left in mercy. Help thy servant bring him here safely through the weather. And spare over dangerous ways. And wilt thou bless all the means that are used to the comfort of the mourning. And may it be for the salvation of our poor souls for Jesus' sake. Amen. 431, 3 through 6. Hear, my children, hear, saith the Lord who bore thee. Never serve nor fear gods of wood or stone. I am God alone. Worship and adore me. 3 through 6 of 431. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.